There's a large, traditional, red, Swedish house in the middle of the woods, in the middle of a village called Black Lake. The trees are moving softly in the wind. There's an old rickety veranda that leads to the front door of the house. The village is asleep. But there is one person who is awake. A car slowly creeps up the driveway over the gravel. A vehicle that's also conveniently dark for the purpose of this reconstruction, but we're not sure what colour it was when it was actually happening. There's a figure behind the wheel. The vehicle parks. We see a door open. We see a foot, and then a leg, and then the rest of a body. A body that's crouching. A figure that does not want to be seen. And a face. The face of a person who is about to commit a crime, depending on what your definition of crime is. The figure takes their time, walking very soft, slow steps across the gravel. The figure's trying to look subtle, but what the figure isn't doing is looking and sounding subtle. The figure is holding something, an object. It seems to be flapping in the wind. They're now stepping up the rickety wooden stairs carefully, trying to not make any creaking sounds in case somebody is home. The figure has just deposited the flapping object on the veranda. They look at it for a second, contemplating something. Is that regret I see in their eyes? They take a deep breath and then creep back down the rickety stairs. The cat has noticed the figure. The cat is running with the figure. The figure gets back into the driver's seat. The figure reverses down the driveway. What the figure doesn't realise is that the beeping sound in the car is due to the reversing of the car, so actually would have been smarter to not reverse to avoid being heard. The figure is gone into the dark night. Was the figure seen?
No, I think we're good. I think we got it.
You need to act like a criminal, Helen.
I have
not like a fucking cartoon character.
I have trouble acting like a criminal. You know that.
I don't know if Helen's the right person to do this, to be honest.
I think we just let's move on.
Oh, the cat. The cat. Don't let me drive over a cat.
We're back.
It's happening.
Season two.
What were we going to say? Welcome to season two
of
the Who Shot and From a Wedding podcast series presenting that, no.
No, we don't need to say it's a podcast because it is a podcast.
You
and
love
people
saying
are
it's
listening
a podcast.
To the podcast.
She loves saying it's a podcast.
She always wants to say it's
right.
Are you ever like, oh, the Breaking Bad TV series? I'm watching that. Let's try that again. Welcome to season two of Who Shat on the Floor at My Wedding. This is episode one. And just in case you're not already aware, this is a podcast. We are your hosts, Karen Whitehouse,
Helen McLaughlin,
and me, Detective Lauren Kilby. We're no longer investigating the shit on the floor at Helen and Karen's wedding, but we have found a completely new and shocking crime that is begging for a top-of-the-range detective team. During this episode, we will reveal the details of the new crime. We'll find out exactly what the figure left on the veranda that day. We'll introduce you to our victim, and we'll set the scene for what is going to be a roller coaster of an investigation. So why did we take on this specific crime?
And while we are very grateful to everyone that submitted new cases involving bodily fluids, I feel like it might be time to move on to something that's non-bodily fluid or secretion related. Mm.
We've all got individual reputations and spending, you know.
Do you have a reputation still? It's gone out the window, isn't it?
Well, I think spending 1 year on fecal matter is enough, and we can claw back that reputation if we move on to something a bit classier, shall we say.
What's the ultimate aim here? If we're like each season, we're going to get classier in our crime. I just want to know where we're headed.
I'll tell you what we're not doing. Cybercrime, no.
What?
Rape, no. Murder, no. Pedophilia, no. Not like class A, you know, epic crimes. We're not covering any of that, and nothing in the cyber world. Okay, it's got to be something that really happened in physical world.
So where has anybody written in with a suggestion of a crime that is not a poop?
No, it's all vomit related and poo related. We're not taking that.
Okay, so
we've got to be, you know, we've got standards.
So
because I'll tell you something. My boyfriend,
yeah,
his name is Joel. Well, that's what I call him. But his official name is Jewel. He is Swedish.
Oh, like, no like, way.
Like Jewel. Do you not know this?
I didn't know that.
No. Okay.
How Jewel. Long have we known him?
Like, no, it's not
Jewel. It's Jewel.
Jewel.
Jewel, yeah.
Yeah.
Jewel.
So he's got the family Jewels.
Anyway, that's what he goes by, but I don't call him that. Anyway, boyfriend has a mother.
No way.
Boyfriend has a mother. What?
I have a boyfriend who has a mother.
Yeah. Usually that's the way it goes, yeah.
The mother-in-law, yeah.
Boyfriend, not the case with you though, is it?
Your boyfriend has a mother.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody
you,
has
you
a mother.
You don't have a boyfriend. So. Anyway.
Or a mother.
Let's relax. And her, so her name is Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Aguilera.
Christina Aguilera is my mother-in-law. Yes.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It'd be
it?
Like, happy birthday.
She could do the new jingle for season two.
So Christina is actually with a K. It's not with a C like Christina Aguilera. Anyway, I have a boyfriend who has a mother who lives in Sweden, the mother, and her name is Christina. And something very bizarre happened to her 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like the time frame that we work with best.
Yeah, we do not take on any current cases. Nothing that's recent that may have a lot of evidence and memory. We're in Black Lake in Sweden. It's the 7th of December, 2009. Christina returns home after a night spent away.
The first thing that was strange was when I came home. When I walked up on my veranda, I noticed something hanging on the veranda. It was this small blue corduroy suit.
A tiny blue corduroy suit.
It was a jacket, trousers and a vest. Really nice one, but so small.
A tiny blue corduroy three-piece suit.
And I couldn't understand where it came from. No one recognized it. So I never sold that by myself, so.
This sounds like a job for detectives who specialize in the depositing of unwanted goods.
I made jokes on Facebook at the time, and because this was 1.5 years after my separation with my husband, so I made a joke. Oh, here is the suit. When comes the man? But he never came.
You meant, like, where is the man that should be wearing this?
Yeah, his clothes are here. Where's the man?
The tiny man.
Yeah.
Have you ever dated a man that size before?
No.
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 It doesn't stop there. 1.5 years after the suit was deposited on Christina's veranda, on the 1st of April 2011, Christina also returned home after a night spent away. She approached her veranda and she saw another item sitting there. This time, it was a tiny suitcase.
How tiny is tiny?
Well, that's what we're going to have to work out now, Helen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, tiny is subjective.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, if it's actually just a small suitcase, I'm going to be really much less impressed.
No, no, no.
If it's like carry-on luggage for a plane.
No, it's not a carry-on luggage bag.
May I ask what enticed you to take on this non-crime crime? I think it's more in the non-crime sort of category.
You don't know yet. What if it was like a bloody knife in the tiny suitcase?
Well, it's reverse theft, isn't it? It's present giving.
Yeah, and who was to say that she didn't want a tiny suitcase? She's got a lot of weird things in her house.
Why should we care about this tiny suitcase?
Well, because if you're not already alarmed by the fact that it was a suitcase dropped on her veranda in the middle of nowhere, 30 minutes from the nearest town, wait till you hear what she found inside.
But then I had, even this time, being away, and I didn't sleep at home, and I came home in the morning, and then there was an old leather suitcase on my veranda. And I was very confused. I hadn't seen it before. I can send you a photo of this too. It's one of these really old ones.
And you can actually find this piece of evidence on our Instagram page, Who Shat on the Floor at My Wedding. Was it tiny?
No, it's it's a bit bigger than those you're allowed to take as a luggage on the plane. It's not the biggest, but it's in the middle.
So we were under the impression that it was a tiny suitcase. Is that not the case?
No, it's a quite big suitcase. And after some, I was a little confused, as I said, and worried, and wondered what it was. But after some time, I took it inside and I opened it. And in it, I found a pillow, a towel, a toilet bag with a toothbrush and toothpaste. A cap. On for the head.
Oh wow.
Underpants, male underpants, worn but washed. A Hawaii shirt, worn but washed. Swimming glasses. Nylon stockings, one parcel, not used. And a comic magazine.
Okay. Yeah. This is a lot to process.
Yeah.
And were they also all clothes for a child, or were they?
No, this was for a man.
Okay. Yeah. Was anyone with you when you discovered either the corduroy suit? Was anyone else at home, any of your other three children?
No. No one was at home, and no one was living here at the time.
Okay, we'll need to go back and verify that information. May I ask, the Hawaiian shirt and the corduroy suit, is that the type of thing that you would wear?
My first thought was that this was something that you had worn as a kid, and someone has lent it from us. Someone with a little younger kids had borrowed it to use on a party or something. Mm. So I asked Jewel if he recognized it, and he just laughed and said no. And then I asked the young people, the young men around me and their parents.
How many young men were around you at the time?
No.
And have you spoken to any other detectives to take on this case?
No, I haven't. I just did these investigations myself.
Okay, great.
I haven't
asked anyone else. So you're not exploring any other options in terms of case solving?
No.
Okay, that's good to know that we're...
And do you feel confident in your daughter-in-law taking this case on?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even though she hasn't actually cracked any cases before, she has got a success rate of 0% in solving crimes.
Yeah, but I still think she's my best option.
I would agree, yeah. You don't have any other...
You've done your detective course.
Let's not get into that, Helen.